Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7, trying to bring you the best coverage we possibly can, while connecting you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Go to the site, check out our articles, our podcasts like this, plenty of different history and stats, and much more. And find our articles on Steel City Underground as well. All right, let's get right into it here tonight. So a couple things before we get into this Browns game coming up this weekend. The Steelers had a pretty active week, specifically in terms of how the Steelers normally operate, considering they made three trades in 2 days over the course of this past week since our last podcast. And I'll briefly touch on what those trades were and how I feel about them. So I might not go in the particular order that they made the deals, but I'm going to cover them like this. First and foremost, they traded Ross Cockrell to the New York Giants for a conditional 2018 pick. I have absolutely no problem with that. I mean, once Joe Hayden came in, he became the starting cornerback across from Artie Burns. Ross Cockrell was losing his job every single day further and further as we went through training camp and the preseason. I do feel like he did have the ability to play in the nickel defense, but you have Cody Sensabaugh, couldn't get that one out there. You have Cam Sutton. You've got Hilton. So there's plenty of guys that can fill that role, and Cockrell just became – you got William Gay still too. So you have plenty of guys that you know, could play that role, and Cockrell really wasn't needed at that point. So picking it up an extra pick next year makes complete sense. If they didn't get it, they probably would have released him, quite honestly. So that one makes sense. And then one of the deals that I think they made that I understand why they did it to a degree, but I don't agree with it for a couple of reasons, and that was the trading of Sammy Coates to the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers traded Coates and their 7th-round pick next year for a 6th-round pick next year, which that 6th-round pick happens to be the Steelers' very own pick, which they traded last year for Gilbert. I don't like it for a couple of reasons, quite honestly, but I understand why they moved on from Coates to a degree. Mainly because there just wasn't room for all the receivers that they had, and I've touched on that in previous podcasts. So finding an odd man out made this a little bit easier to at least get something for him. So in that regard, I understand it, though I would have kept him because I think his talent level is there. I love what I saw from him the first few weeks of last season. I think it was about 5 or 6 weeks before he'd injured his fingers. I do think that's the player he can be in this league. And that was a heck of a player when he was healthy. I know you've got Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. You drafted Juju Smith-Schuster. You've got Eli Rogers as your slot guy. I get that. But I do think there was a place for Coates here. And so where I'm going with this is I don't like trading him plus a pick, albeit a 7th-round pick, for our own pick that we gave up last year for a guy that we actually don't even have anymore. And I don't like giving him to the Cleveland Browns. Now, this says one of two things, or maybe a combination of the both. It says the Steelers either A, really don't have faith in Coates, and so they don't care that he's going in the division, which is where I have my biggest problem with this, because I just don't want to have to face the guy 2 times a year that I believe has talent. Now, the Steelers may not believe that he's going to be anything more than he was, you know, sort of down the stretch in the alligator arms kind of guy that he was in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. And if they believe that, that's possibly a reason why they said they didn't care that they would trade him to the Browns. The other thing is they may just think that it doesn't matter if they're trading talent to the Browns because the Browns suck and they're going to suck for a long time. That could be true. You know, I think the Browns, they're a doormat of the league, as I've written a few times so far this offseason. They look like they're going to continue to be that doormat. We'll see what DeShone Kizer turns out to be as a quarterback. I don't expect a ton out of him this year in his rookie campaign, but generally speaking, quarterbacks go to Cleveland and die. So if history serves us right, you know, he's not going to turn out to be anything. I just don't feel like they're going to be that good, and maybe that's why the Steelers think they can move him coats over there too, because they feel like the Browns are just not a threat in AFC North, and two times a year the Steelers are going to pick up two wins no matter who's over there. Maybe that's it. But it is a little bit of a hard pill to swallow, thinking that we could have traded a high-end playmaker for almost nothing, and that almost nothing is their very own pick. TBD, I guess, right? We'll see how that plays out. I don't expect any immediate devastation from Coates this season, but we could see some down the line, possibly. We'll have to wait and see. Now, the last trade that they made, they actually traded that sixth-round pick that they got in that deal over to Tampa Bay for safety J.J. Wilcox and a seventh-round pick. So, essentially, they got their seventh-round pick back. Not their actual pick, but they got a seventh-round pick back, and they got safety. So, I like that move. And you could say, well, the Colts move netted you Wilcox, and that's true. But I'm sure they could have gotten Wilcox another way. That said, I think Wilcox was a good addition, provides more depth in a secondary that needed it, and it was just an interesting piece to see the Steelers make three trades in a matter of 2 days and four in the entire camp/preseason era of 2017. I mean, the Steelers making four trades, that could take a decade, quite frankly, and they did it all within a month. So very interesting week for sure in that regard. Of course, now the talk is the Cleveland Browns as they go in there this week and expect them to open up 1-0. I don't expect this to be much of a challenge. I mean, I've been dubbing it a fifth preseason game. I still see it that way, and maybe the Browns will prove me otherwise, and I'll next week have to be talking about that. But I'm looking at the Steelers going in there and wiping the floor with them, something around the line of 31-9. I think that Ben, AB, Bell, Bryant, you know, all those killer bees and then some are going to have a field day offensively, and I expect the defense to tear up DeShone Kizer, quite frankly. It's his opening game in the NFL as a starter. Traditionally Steelers defenses eat rookie quarterbacks alive. I see no reason to think otherwise. The Browns don't have a whole ton of talent that I'm really concerned about. So, you know, I just don't see how this game becomes much of a threat to the black and gold. You know, and so they're going to open up 1-0, or they should at least. And that's a good thing to do. You know, the big thing to me is making sure everybody comes out of this game, much like the preseason, healthy. So if they are up in that 31-9, 31-3, 31-14 type of game, I would expect that Mike Tomlin would pull guys like Ben Roethlisberger, AB, Le'Veon Bell, who obviously missed all of the offseason with his contract demands, pull him out in that fourth quarter, let him sit, get him ready for the following week, because, you know, there's no reason this season in particular with the team that this, with the talent that this team has and the expectations that this team has, that you should risk injuries in games that are foregone conclusions. And I know that those guys are competitors, and I know that they're going to want to stay out there, and they're going to want to play every minute that they can and get their yards and receptions and carries, etc. I don't care. That's small picture stuff, and this team needs to be focused on the big picture this year, and Mike Tomlin needs to get out of his own head, and hopefully he will in that regard. He cannot let the inmates run the asylum this year, and that's traditionally been a problem, I think, in that locker room where the players have a little too much control and leeway for that matter, and that can't be. They should go into the Cleveland Browns Stadium. They should take care of them in about 2.5 quarters, 3 quarters. Ben can sit for 10 to 15 minutes of the game. AB can sit, Bell can sit, and they should have no problems. Specifically, I think Ben's going to have a big day. I don't know if he'll get to 300 yards because I'm hoping and anticipating that he won't play the full game, but I'm looking at around 220 yards for Ben. two touchdown passes, maybe three, no picks, completing about 65-70% of those passes. I just think he's going to have a great day. And I know he didn't play but a little bit in the preseason. I just don't think it matters for him. He's been great the last several years in particular, and he's only getting better and certainly smarter, and that will continue. And he owns the state of Ohio anyway. AB, we're looking at. I'm going to give him eight catches to come out of the gates. I'm going to give him eight catches. He'll eclipse 100 yards, and he'll have a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell is an interesting one for me. I expect him to run for about 80 yards, and then I expect another 40 yards in the air for him. I don't think where he's going to miss a beat. I know he missed the whole camp and preseason. I just don't think it's going to matter. I think out of all the positions, running back is the one that matters least in terms of getting that playing time. He just needs to be in game shape. He says he had been working out all offseason. I believe it. There's a lot of videos out there of him doing it. I think that the contract stuff is behind him. He obviously signed the tender. He's going to play on the $12 million. And, you know, if he wants that $15 to $17 million a year, he knows he's going to have to prove it on the field again this year. And if he wants to avoid that franchise tag, he's going to have to prove it again on the field this year. So I think he's going to have about 80 yards or so on the ground and another 30 to 40, maybe 50 in the air. And he'll probably put a ball in the end zone a couple of times as well. And then I'm really interested in Martavis Bryant, quite frankly. He missed all of last season, as we all know, and we won't get into all of the skeletons there, but how will he come back? I mean, I think he's looked pretty decent in the preseason. He's definitely in shape. I think he's ready to go. He says he's ready to go against Cleveland. I think there are times where, you know, if I go back 2 years now, but where I've thought that he's better than Antonio Brown. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that he is. He's certainly a different style of receiver, but he is fast. He might be faster than Brown. He's certainly taller. He's a bigger red zone target. And the best part about him is his talent is so strong that teams aren't going to be able to double up Brown. So you're going to have to pick your poison if you're an opposing defense. Who do you want to face? So if they double up Brown, I mean, Bryant's going to burn you. If you want to guard Bryant and you guard Brown one-on-one, then Brown's going to burn you, or they're both going to burn you. So I expect about 4, 5, 6 catches out of Bryant. I don't think he's going to get in the end zone, but I think he's going to put up another 50 or 60 yards as well. And then, you know, James Conner, what's he going to do? Is he going to spell Bell? I think he will. I think he'll pick up 8 to 10 carries for about 35 to 40 yards in his opener. Fellow rookie T.J. Watt on the defensive side of the ball, where I think the entire defense will succeed and shut the Browns down. I think he's going to come out of the gate strong. He's going to be amped. He's going to get his pressure. He'll pick up 4 or 5 tackles. I think he's going to get a sack. I actually think he'll pick up 1 sack in his opening game. I do. I think he's going to get there. He's going to start off really, really well. And the last player that I'm going to individually comment on is Joe Hayden, because obviously he's returning to Cleveland to face his old team for the very first time. He's certainly going to be amped up, and he says there's no revenge factor there, but I just got, you know, I guess maybe not, because you know when you're in Cleveland you're not going to win, but he's certainly going to want to show them where he is now and what he's aiming to do this season. I think he's going to have a great game. I don't predict any interceptions out of him, but I think he's going to cover his man very well. I don't think he'll give up more than a couple of catches. And like I said, the Steelers get out of there 31-9. They don't give up a touchdown. They give up 3 field goals. They put up 31 points on offense. And they have a field day where the starters, the key ones at least, get to rest. And that's really how I see it happening. Now, a couple of things that you know, could hinder that plan, if you will, are stupidity, for one. And that certainly comes with the idiotic 15-yard penalties that this team sometimes gets into, the personal fouls, the chippiness. Doesn't usually happen with the Browns, but you never know. Stupid plays like that. You just can't have them, especially against a team that's inferior to you. You start giving them free yards and free opportunities, and you don't know how they're going to make you pay. I mean, they say any given Sunday, and that's true. I mean, a great team and a good team are separated by 1 or 2 wins a year, quite frankly. I mean, playoff teams are separated by about 1 win a year from the fringe guys. So there's not a lot of difference between a bad team and a great team. And if you give any team free opportunities and they turn those opportunities into points, you can get yourself into trouble. So there's certainly that. The special teams miscues that this team sometimes comes across, they have to not have that happen. They have to eliminate those. I'm not anticipating any of this, but what I'm saying is if any of these things happen, that's what's going to keep the Browns in this game. They just can't have that. The clock management out of Tomlin, you know, he's had some bonehead moves over the years. He can't do that in a game like this as well. They just have to eliminate any of these, you know, ridiculous errors that could prevent them from winning, or maybe in this case winning easily and prolonging a game that shouldn't go into the fourth quarter. That's just something that's more obvious, but it needs to be taken care of. With DeShone Kizer, I think they should blitz the heck out of him. You know, if you rattle a rookie early, he's probably going to get in his own head and get out of that game, and they can put him away immediately. And then probably maybe the most important thing for this game, but also for the season, is they have to make sure that Big Ben stays upright. He's not hit very often, if at all. And again, kind of what I'm saying about resting him, get him out of there when they can. They cannot afford an injury to Big Ben. Now, Landry Jones could come in and win this game. Dobbs could come in and win this game. I'm not concerned about that. But you can't risk an injury. So you get him out of there once the game's at hand. You bring in Landry. Hell, you bring in Dobbs for all I care. You mop it up. You get out of there. You move on to week two. That's how I see this one playing down. So that's about it. You know, the Steelers made some moves this week. By and large, they were decent. You know, a little curious with Coates. We'll see how he plays it on Sunday against the Black and Gold. Is he going to be out for revenge? We'll see. I mean, maybe Hayden will go against Coates. That'll be an interesting one. So I am looking forward to that. But overall, I see them going into Cleveland. I see them winning again, 31-9. The offense should explode, and the defense should be able to shut down Kizer and the rest of that offense, including Isaiah Crowell, by the way, who ran for 152 yards against them last year. They need to concentrate on him a little bit. But I see them overall shutting these guys down and having big games with guys like Connor and Watt. The rookies coming up in a pretty big way as well to get their first regular season experience in the NFL. So that's about it. So I'm Mike Pelaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, of SteelCityUnderground.com. We are taking our look at this past week and then, of course, previewing the Browns game here. And hopefully we go out and we get that win, and we'll talk next week about recapping this win and then going into week two. Talk to you then.